cannon through the bathroom.
Where is it? Where's my toilet?
A man's can of John's John.
Mikey, this ain't the kind of place you want to go to the bathroom.
See what you got in here.
You don't want to go in there, Mr. Clark. It stinks.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Botany.
Botany who?
Botany good toilets lately.
If you're just joining the broadcast, we are in the third hour of Rosie on the House for this Saturday, June 21st broadcast in the summer solstice.
I did promise in this day with a plumber, we would solve the universal question of which low flow toilet works best. That coming up a little bit later.
Which?
The world wants to know.
All the world wants to know.
Which low flow toilet really works? They all work if you flush them enough. But which one works the way they're supposed to work? We'll solve that. We'll solve that later in the show.
That one. I've been putting a lot in, and every brand says they're the best. So,
let's go back to what we were dealing with just before the break.
We were talking about tankless water heaters, and we talked through the trouble of the price, the initial upfront cost, because they are more expensive, the fact that you have to have a water treatment system before it, but also a lot of homes may not have enough power.
Oh, yes. Either electric. Most of the bigger ones take 3 40-amp breakers, and a lot of homes don't have that to share, to spend, are an extra-large gas line. I would say probably a minimum of a 1-inch gas line or even 1.25-inch, and your normal 50 or 40-gallon gas is a 1/2-inch gas supply, so it's way undersupplied.
So you quote a price for the tankless water heater, and then you quote a price for extending that gas line, and what do they use?
And then a water treatment system.
And a water treatment system.
And they usually faint.
and different venting as well.
And the venting could be a whole nother problem. Yeah. The neat thing about the gas ones is you can get an outside unit. You could just bolt it on the backside of your house right next to your bathroom.
Yeah. So the universal decision today is if you're fighting slow water delivery to a bathroom, the circulating pumps are probably your best economical answer.
I'd be first step.
All right. Yes.
How often do people just stick with the tank and then the recirc pump afterwards? I mean, when they get the price, do they you'd mentioned they faint. Well, do they wake up and still go with it? Or
and I actually have it on my house, and my wife loves it. We never run out of hot water, so that's the big thing. If you have a big family, you won't run out. But I'll guarantee you, too, you're going to have your teenager. They're not going to run out of hot water. That can be a problem. They can take a 4-hour shower.
You may need to put a shut-off valve at the power supply.
Yeah, and all of a sudden your gas bill goes way up. And so instead of it saving you money because it's more efficient, it's costing you more because you're using a lot more energy.
I think that should be in the FAQs, don't you?
Yeah, it should be in the FAQs, absolutely. Worth considering. Unless you have a teenage daughter.
All right. Well, let's. Every line is full, so let's get them started. We'll start with Bill in Mesa. How can we help you, sir?
Hi, Rosie. Love your show. I got a question about outside landscaping dripper systems. Every time I turn it on, I start hearing a whistling sound in the pipes. Don't know where it's coming from.
Turn the outdoor irrigation line on, and we're hearing whistling in the residential plumbing system. Chris, you want to start with that first?
Sure. It can be a couple different things, but usually that's going to be your anti-siphon. The dripping system uses just a little bit of water. It's like whistling. You do it just right, you get a noise. The flow changes slightly, like through your sprinklers, and it doesn't make a noise. So what I usually do is, you start trying to figure out what it is. While you hear that, if you turn off the sprinkler system at the anti-siphon, I assume you have one as well, which you should have one to protect your drinking water. If that stops it, then it is the sprinkler system that's doing it. I've oftentimes, even in large commercial properties, I can go put my hand on that anti-siphon. You can actually feel it vibrating. Yeah, and that's what it is. Now, sometimes you can rebuild those and fix it. But sometimes, too, you can't do a whole lot about it because the amount of water going through it's going to make a slight vibration and cause that noise.
Okay. Bill, anything to add to that?
I think he's 100% right on that. The only thing I check, too, is sometimes those electric solenoids won't open up all the way. So a quarter of the way you open, that little washer will vibrate and make noise, too.
Would it pay him anything to put a pressure test on the house and see if he's high pressure?
It would compound the problem.
It could compound the problem. Yes. So we want to make sure he's delivering, 60 to 65 pounds to the house?
On the sprinkler, he's probably talking 35 or 40.
Yeah. But the pressure regulator would be at the manifold coming into the house, wouldn't it? And then you would set that to about 60.
Yes.
Make sure you're not over delivering high pressure to that vacuum breaker. Mm-hmm. So, and that you can run to a hardware store and pick up a pressure dial.
A little gauge, yeah, $10.
$10.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you pressure test your house? How can we talk a homeowner right now into pressure testing their house step by step?
Basically, it's like just screwing on the end of a hose.
And it has to be the hose that where the water enters the house.
It could be almost anywhere.
It could.
Any hose bib should have the same pressure, static
okay.
pressure.
Make sure all your water's turned off, the autofiller to the pool, the ice maker, everything else. Make sure nothing's running. Turn the hose bib completely on with the gauge screwed on, and that'll register your pressure.
Yeah, and some of them have a little telltale, a little extra arm on it, that if you leave it on overnight, it will give you a high reading because it does vary during the night.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you want to see that stays under 65. I understand some plumbing manufacturers actually void the warranty with over 70, 72 pounds PSI. Is that right?
Well, in Pima County, it's 80 requires a regulator, but I'm with you. I think 65 or 70 is tops.
80 by code.
By code.
Requires a regulator.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay. So let's do a pressure test on that unit. Let's do a solenoid check on that particular sprinkler valve and see if that doesn't eliminate the whistle or replace the vacuum breaker.
We'll stay outside and see if we can help Bill now in Scottsdale talk about the leaking hose bib.
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the program, Rosie. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Bill.
I just discovered I'm an old guy. And when I turn my hose on and the old spigot outside that's just off the main to hook my hose up to, it's leaking around. When I turn it on, it comes out pretty profusely around the handle. Is there an easy way of doing that without replacing the whole head and stuff? I'm worried about, you know, grabbing the old monkey wrench and turning that thing and popping something.
Chris Stanfield, Ben Franklin Plumbing.
Sure. I mean, there's all different brands of hose bibs, but most of them have what's called a packing nut on top, and there's a washer underneath that. So underneath the handle, if you can turn the water off, you can loosen that handle up and unscrew that nut that's just underneath the handle, and that'll take out the stem, and then you can replace the packing that's inside there. Is it a screw-on hose bib, or is it soldered on? Is it screw into the pipe, do you know?
Yeah, it's screwed to the pipe.
Okay, if it's screwed to the pipe, you know, you probably would be better off if you can shut your water off and make sure that's possible, and that's always the most important thing.
Right, make sure that main turns off.
So if you can turn it off, for the cost, I just go buy a new threaded hose bib and take that one off and put a new one on. If it was soldered, then that's a little different story. You need to be able to solder, and so maybe a repair would be better. But the hose bib is going to cost you minimum to go buy a new one.
And I've actually been able to cheat those occasionally, depending on how big the hose bib is. Open the hose bib. Take a wrench and tighten the packing nut. It may have worked loose. Tighten the packing nut, and sometimes that solves the problem just all by itself. So
yes, it does.
Open the water. Let it so you're not cranking the gasket down onto its seat to the point where you're busting the gasket. Turn the water on. Tighten that nut just underneath the stem. See if that doesn't solve it. Sounds like it's leaking too much for that to solve it. At that point, turn the water off and either replace the packing nut and the stem and the gasket in the bottom, or like Chris says, for a couple bucks, just replace the hose bib.
I agree with Chris. I would one up that, though. I would replace it and do a quarter-turn ball valve for the hose bib.
Okay.
They're made to last 20 years, and it's easy on and off with no packing nut.
Okay. There you go. That's why we bring experts in. Where are we going next, buddy?
Mike wants to talk about solving an odor without a P-trap. Mike, tell us about your situation.
Hey, thank you very much, guys, for taking my call. I bought the house about a year ago, and I guess the owner of the house, did a real sloppy job on putting a shower in. And recently I had a plumber come out and do some other work around the house. And I had him check out the shower in the guest bathroom because of an odor coming from it. And he told me that there's no P-trap. So I was just wondering, I know that's probably a really expensive job to get done, but I was wondering, is there any type of liquids or solutions that I could possibly put down the drain without doing damage? Because I was told bleach after time is going to do damage, and I just, I just thought you guys might be able to help me.
Bill, where are you?
This is Mike.
I'm sorry. Mike, where are you?
I live in Paradise Valley right now. I'm in my truck.
Yeah, no, okay. The house is in Paradise Valley. When was the remodel done?
I believe it was done in April or February, March, somewhere like that, 2013.
Okay, and do you know if a permit was pulled?
Don't know.
Okay, if a permit was pulled, there will be a P-trap there. He wouldn't have been able to pour the floor. There would have been a rough plumbing inspection. I'm really, really suspicious. I'd have to be. It would have to be proven to me there's no P-trap there. It would really have to be proven to me.
A lot of times on remodels, guys get lazy and they want to move the drain 2 feet. Instead of moving the whole P-trap, they'll put a 90 on top of that P-trap and move it over. It's not really what you're supposed to do. But I've seen that a lot. So the P-trap may just be like a running trap a little farther down the line. So, yeah. And nothing's going to help as far as chemicals go to get rid of that sewer smell.
Nothing.
Explain exactly the function of a P-trap for anyone out there listening, trying to figure out what are they talking about.
P-trap forms a seal between the sewer line or and the gases that could come up into the home and your home itself. So water, as it goes in there, forces the water out of the P-trap, but it always stays full. The only one that's really different about that is the toilet. It flushes and is open for a little bit, but then you fill that right back up again.
And that P-trap is generally in the toilet
itself.
That's
in the toilet itself.
Yeah.
Although they used to make them where they had the trap was in the floor.
Below the floor, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if he does have a remodel where they move the drain and the P-trap is a couple feet over to the side and he's still got this odor, where does he go from there?
I'm thinking he cameras the line, doesn't he?
Yeah. They do make a product that's made mostly for commercial floor drains, like in restaurants and the bathrooms and stuff. It's a rubber seal that can go on top. And you don't need to have the trap primer anymore, so that really much gets rid of.
Ooh.
And that may work. I don't know if it would be code or not.
I never even heard of that.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you've got a question, we may be able to fit you in. If not, we'll take your call. Top of the hour. It's a day with the plumber here at Rosie on the House. When we come back, we've got Harriet in Tucson, Jaina in Phoenix, and we are going to clear up the question, what's the best low-flow toilet?
All the world wants to know.